Yeah.
Since we're going to get started.
Yeah.
You took over the Voice of Ratchet in the second game, am I correct with that?
Second game, yeah.
When you came into it, did you try to replicate the voice that was done the first?
No,
in
fact.
Then where did Ratchet voice come from?
So Ratchet was originally a very dear friend of mine, Mikey Kelly, very talented actor within his own right. And in fact, Kevin directed both Mikey and I in TMNT. He was Michelangelo, and I was Leonardo in that. And so Mikey was doing his own thing with the character, and then when they realized they were going to go different places with the whole franchise, I think they decided they wanted to change a bit of the texture and the tone of the voice, and I happened to fit the mark, so fortunate.
And in creating that voice, is Ratchet voice similar to any of the other voices you do in your...
That's kind
of
the beauty.
He's
pretty much me, you know, and it's like, you know, I've been doing voices all day showing everybody, you know, because I'm Fred Flintstone and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Johnny Test and all these different characters. And so it's very different from mine. Does anybody want to hear the voices? You guys
yes,
want to hear the
voices? Sure.
Were you here already?
Hold on. Let me get it on my Snapchat.
Okay.
Hold on.
So as a voice actor, I get to be all different people. I'm Yabba Dabba Doo, Fred Flintstone. I'm Johnny Test, who's 11 years old and totally awesome. And and I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars The Clone Wars. So I get to be all these different characters, and Ratchet is just me. So that's kind of the coolest part about it, is getting to do that. You know. Yeah.
And were you excited? You know, usually when they adapt something, they always get a new actor. So
yeah.
Were you excited when they said, we're going to go with you guys?
I've had good luck with that. When we did TMNT, I also did not get replaced.
That's good.
We did the Clone Wars, I didn't get replaced. So every movie that I've done, I've been fortunate that I have not been replaced with a celebrity as lovely as they are. None of them are as lovely as Bella. But and that was the funnest part, is that we all get to kind of be there and doing this stuff. I wish we could have tracked together, though.
Yeah. But again, like I said, I was left out of when they made history.
Were there any sessions where you recorded with the other actors, or was everyone in their own studio?
No, for the most part,
everyone.
Almost everyone. David Kaye, who plays Clank, and Jim Ward, who's Captain Quark, and the three of us, we recorded together all the primary stuff. But we did it like 2 years ago, so you weren't even attached yet,
I'm not so butthurt anymore.
The majority of our stuff recorded then. And I was in a separate little booth, but we were in the same room together because they need to isolate me because I'm just...
You just can't contain him.
Yeah.
And Bella, how did you channel the Kick-Ass?
You know, Cora is really very similar to me. It was pretty easy, actually, just because she's very, you know, tomboyish. I don't look tomboy right now, but in my personal life, very much tomboy. And she's very sarcastic, and I'm so, so sarcastic.
True.
That sometimes it comes off bitchy, and I think that people think that her character is, like, kind of a little bit bitchy because she's so sarcastic and, like, harsh-toned. But that's how I am naturally anyways. But it's like, I love you if I'm doing that. So it's cool. You know, I wish I could kick... Galaxy, but I haven't had that chance yet. But if I did, I would do it just like Cora does it.
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, have you seen
cool.
Have you seen the movie? I mean, she's just awesome. The whole time I'm going, way to go, Bella, man. This is so great. And I do fear her character. I do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Cora is very much a shoot first, ask questions later. Like she even says that. Do you think that you brought that level like impulsiveness?
That's like maybe one of the things we don't have. I'm sorry, can we close that door, please? It's one of the things that we don't have in common as much. This guy had it coming.
Oh, sure.
I was going to operate.
Yeah, maybe not as much. We don't have that so much in common. I'm more like, I may be like impulsive to like, no, I want to do this, but then I'm like a little bit more factual, I think, than rather than just based on emotion, which I think is more Cora's, that's what, like in the scene when they're all at the round table and they're like, yeah, we should go in and we should do this, and it's a ridiculous plan. And then the only one character is like the other woman that's like, guys, seriously? And Cora would have been like that if she was more based on facts than emotion. Then she would have said, oh my God, this is not a good idea.
She's fearless. She is fearless.
Bella, had you done any voice work like this before this came along? Or?
I've done some voice work. Yeah, I have. But I'm just, you know, this guy.
Oh, please.
So cool.
Very nice.
Definitely not. But I want to do more. I think it's it's awesome, and it's better for me to watch it because if I'm watching me, it's like I'm so critical too. So I'm like, the continuity's wrong, and then this angle, and then what is this, and then oh my god, my acne, and it's just like it's just too much for me to watch. But when I'm watching, you know, animation, especially considering that I didn't really help like really create her since I came in, you know, after the fact that she was created. It's cool. It's cool, and for me to watch it, I don't think I'm watching me. I totally, it like completely takes me out of it, and I feel like I'm really watching Korra and these badass kids.
Yeah.
Did you see yourself? Did they made a picture first, or they videotape you and they put something?
No, because that would be like real live action animation, which is where you completely embody the character and you got all those cool little things on you. That's what I really want to do, because that's like that's awesome.
I told you I'm working on that.
Yeah, no, come on, please. She didn't really have a voice.
She was designed.
She was designed
visually. She's actually based on sort of in the same, I guess, race as what Talwin from the game.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
And so it was a nod to the sort of, we wanted to have somebody from that sort of world. And then so we knew sort of the character because the script was being written like that. But it was really Bella that came along and sort of just, it's because it's everybody just comes along and they
tweak
they
just, it.
They tweak it. They you got to let actors own their characters. You can't be the one with all the answers and stuff like that. And so just letting them, and she just takes it and evolves into what it is. And then that's Korra. Whatever we had before was sort of like a shell or something.
I was so curious what they were going to do with this character and who they were going to get. And it's just, it's perfect. It really is. I'm not just kissing up. It's really just the perfect combination. And it's a perfect kind of, you know, foil for Ratchet's, hey, let's go. Yeah, all right.
Well, especially the background for Korra's character, the idea that she really had to work hard to get to where she was, and the idea that that Ratchet kind of comes along and gets what she would consider a free pass because just the Rangers happen to be looking for one more person to fill that seat. And so, of course, you spend that much of your life trying for anything and someone waltzes it and just does it effortlessly, it's gonna affect how you deal with it.
Can I just ask a question? How did you see me and be like, oh, that should, like, she would work with that character?
It was your voice. It was your voice, and whenever you spoke, you believe the words you were saying, if that makes sense. And I knew that you had, and it wasn't, I know we were talking earlier about like what it is the characters and the character quality voice. To me, it was always about you just didn't mince words, and it was either. So usually, whenever you go to cast for an animated film, you go and look at a lot of people's YouTube interviews, and I love the idea of just seeing how people are like this, just casually, just speaking, and because to me, that's at least the baseline that we start with, and then we can build from there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something just you always had a conviction of what you were saying. You always just kind of like cut to the chase, and when you look at the character, that's all it was. It wasn't like we had to build a character around her voice. It was the Korra was this character, and we needed to find someone to take it and just make it believable, and so you would hear it and believe it.
Thanks. Yeah. Good.
I love the animation. What was in the trailer? You don't get that sense until you see it on the big screen.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of shocked. Like, oh, this is really cool. I'm not familiar with the property. Yeah. So, what was different? And as far as the animation,
you know, it's I'm a big stickler for how things move. I think a lot of times people get really, you can get soft on how strong the poses are. A lot of the times, you know, you look at like the big thing was the designs were all there. It was how do you push the animation? Like when Ratchet smiles, because he has just such a big smile when he speaks those types of lines, and really seeing like the cheek go up and push into the face. And I just love, to me, it's just about creating a reality, and I just don't want to look at it and know that I'm watching something that's just a bunch of pixels, and so that to me is like the ultimate thing to go for. But then even just with the energy of the animation, there's an energy in video games that you just don't usually get like in a whatever big studio animated film. And so with this, what was interesting was there's like a kinetic energy to video games where it's a little. And so it was how would that affect animation, and how would that, because when you're playing your video game, a lot of times like your animation's all subdivided so that in mid jump, if you all of a sudden hit another button, then you have to jump out of that jump cycle to then do the shooting when you're jumping. And so it's always giving you the ability to go zigzag as much as you want.
And visually, too, you know, in a game, you can move around and look, and it feels like the movie does that at times. So you're getting that viewpoint, you know, looking around and getting this whole
thing. It's all about perspective and really getting that feeling. When kids play with Hot Wheels, they put their heads on the ground and they really get into the world of that when they're playing with their toys. And I think there's something like that with video games where you just really feel like you're in the world. And so how can you stage it and move it? And even like that kinetic energy of video games, how would it affect the pacing of the story and the editing? Because gamers are smart. They're so smart at just absorbing story and material. And so why am I going to sit back and say that I need to make it feel like a Disney film? Because it's Ratchet and Clank. And especially in animation, there's so few times that you actually get to break the mold.
Yeah.
And this, and Ratchet and Clank gives you an excuse, because you're like, listen, it's not me, it's Ratchet and Clank. It's like, it just demands a certain level of whatever. But really, it's about a way to kind of get a new, fresh kind of little twist on the future one.
Bella, your character has like shown the pictures which you kind of embrace the past. Embrace the past. Like a past, your character has weird hair and makeup in the movie.
Uh huh.
So, you remember that scene?
Keep going.
So, do you yourself, do you have any like embarrassed moment in your life and that you want to forget about, but you still something remember that you can laugh about right now?
I think like the whole range from like 12 to like 15-ish, 16 was just bad. If we could just erase all photos from there, I would be genuinely very happy. But something that I look back on and I think like, oh, you know, that's like, I wish I kind of wouldn't have done that or something. Do you mean something like more like that, or you mean just photo-wise?
You've done something.
And I look back on it and I kind of laugh at it. Well, growing up, I when I was on Shake It Up was like from those ages, and that was, you know, that was literally being put in the spotlight when you're so insecure and you're just growing up and you don't know what to do, and people are constantly telling you you should be this and that, and so you start to believe them, and then you find yourself wanting to be liked and wanting to be pretty and wanting to be really funny and, like, you know, really just trying to be like just somebody you're not. And when I got off the show, I did just all movies, and I kind of found myself in the film world that I didn't have to be that, and that people were just gonna like me if I was just down, you know, just down, and that's how I am, and I don't have to be this, like, you know, kind of character, and I always keep it real, real, real. I mean, if you just go look at my tweets, it's real on there.
I have a question for James.
Yeah.
You've done so much voice work. For you, particularly doing Ratchet's voice, mm-hmm. what would you say was the most personal thing that hit you the most? Why would this character be so close to your heart out of many that you've done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, besides the voice, it's just that he's kind of this... well, you know, for one, I found out literally 4 years ago that the person I thought was my father was not my father. And that was kind of one of those earth-shattering moments where you're like, well, wait a second, who am I and what am I about? And Ratchet is certainly a character I've always related to because, you know, he's an orphan, you know, and I felt like that as a kid kind of too, growing up, never having that father figure to align with, and then finding out the person I thought wasn't. Like I said, 4 years ago, it's really shaken up my world, and it gave me even more to relate to when we were doing this. And because there's some wonderfully, you know, kind of touching moments in this film too, and there's a wonderful heart to this film, and it does have, some people have said it's kind of like Luke Skywalker, you know, in Star Wars, the original Star Wars. I feel there is that kind of touch of that, and I think that goes certainly to my, you know, wanting to be the hero and do the right things and make everybody happy and be pleasing to everybody, but also to feel good about myself, and that's certainly what Ratchet's about. So yeah, thanks.
Obviously, it would be really awesome to have a useful robot sidekick like Clank.
Co-star. We'll speak for David since he's not here.
Co-star.
Have any of you imagined, like, if you did have a partner in crime like Clank, like, what types of adventures you would go on, or what you would have him help you out with? Or?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good question.
Just being with the cool kids. Clank is he's smart. He's smarter than everybody in the room. So that's always a good thing, I guess. That would be a good thing to have.
Anything that allows you to be as impetuous and carefree as possible would be what I would use that
you'd want to take him to Vegas, you know, because he maybe could beat the odds.
he'll be the one to make sure you get back to the hotel.
That's right.
And that's the benefit
right.
of Clank.
What happens?
I just would like, you know, it for just basic help. Like, I, you know, when I'm lying in bed and my bedside's next to me, I don't want to roll over. Right. And get my remote to watch TV. Like, I genuinely don't want to do it. So if I got Clank there, hey, bucko, can you just hop over and
it's
get
like
me that?
Siri
it's
life.
So yes. much, yes. it would just Siri make my life. Life so much less
While
stressful.
You're at it, get me a Fresca. Come on.
Yeah.
And what's the temperature in the
Fresca? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you
talk a little bit about why you went back to the plot line of the first game
yeah.
for the plot line of this?
You know, that was actually bigger than me. That was a big, I think when Insomniac said they wanted to do it, I know that this was a chance for them to, because they had developed the franchise so much with James and company to date, that it sort of has developed into this wonderful big creative world that I think they always kind of wanted, like another bite at the apple, to go back and say, this is kind of our definitive, because I think whenever they did it, it was a video game, and then all of a sudden it became a franchise, right? And,
yeah.
And so so I think there's always a chance. So I think it's that plus the notion of just reintroducing it to a whole new level of fans. And you're like, why would we need to do this? Well, we can do it because we can tell story points that weren't there before. We can take those quiet moments like James was talking about and put them on screen and not necessarily have to take the time in a video game to do
yeah.
it. But at the same time, we still say there's just so much content. It's just story, and it doesn't really matter if it's video game or movie. It's just how you get it out there. So I think it was just a big thing to sort of help bring in new fans, and at the same time, I think for the existing ones to sort of have a reaffirmation, like yeah, that's always the way it was. It always kind of started there. So it was a good all around chance.
And it's a great opportunity to show fans that you know love the game, look at that again. But then people that don't know it to go, oh, here they are,
yeah.
And then they get to go, oh, there's a game I can play, and then they can go back. So it's a great natural link, I think. Yeah.
Do you plan on doing more films? Series, a movie series on the game itself?
On Ratchet itself? Personally, I would say yes. I don't have the money for it, but as soon as somebody asks them, I would jump at it. It's an unending well, and the idea that you still have so much more to tell about not only Ratchet's story, but them as Rangers, and even in that world, it's unending. And yeah, and then Clank's story is
no, Korra.
Oh, just say Clank and Korra, and then Korra's getting her own spinoff.
Yeah. Come on,
that Korra tonight at 9. Yes,
tonight on Korra.
Seriously though, we should do that.
But would you tailor the stories to what has been done in the games in terms of the plots, or would you develop your own?
You know, I think that just depends on what the greater brain trust would think. Because I mean, we do this in coordination with Insomniac. The only reason why everything is so tight between you watch that game trailer where you're jumping between game footage and then going to the movie footage and back, and we have assets that we had in the movie that they're using in the game, and then vice versa, and we use their design. It just feels like one coherent kind of world. So it's not something that I would say is up to me totally, but would I think there's a ton of stories that you can still tell in that world. There's a ton of great, and not only just stories and adventures, but just like themes. Like it's like themes like Ratchet's dad and where he belongs. Clank has a whole backstory about how he was created and why. We basically just really narrowly touch on it whenever the lightning strike happens in the thing. But that in the game is its own zony backstory that goes on forever. So it's a very deep mythology.
Do you have time for two more questions?
Any of you guys play games?
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I think you're the same. I like to watch somebody play the games, right?
Yeah, because my hand-eye coordination skills are really bad. You have no idea how many times I've tried to play Call of Duty and be good at it, and I'm just not good at it. But my brother, huge video game addict, when I told him that I booked this role, he literally was like, oh, the movie? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, not the video game? And I was like, no, they're making a movie out of it. And he was like, oh, that's cool.
but then when they said
back on his, and then I was like, yeah, I'm doing the game. He was like, so the video game? Yeah. Dope. I got a dope, and that's big for my brother. Yeah. So I like the ones that I'm actually good at playing is Mortal Kombat and Grand Theft Auto, because you can button smash in those, and that's like one of the, I don't need to know all the combos. It's better for me. But yeah, I like to watch because visually it's so beautiful.
I'm great at this game. It's called Pac-Man. And I can
that is that, a hard game,
you know,
actually, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of old school like that. We have an arcade in the house with the old vintage games, and we love playing those.
Dude, Galaga?
Yeah, Galaga. Oh, yeah. High score.
Oh, yeah.
Galaga.
The Korra has to deal with... She actually entered the fame, and then you have a new TV show coming up, and which is dealing with fame.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Bella Thorne? How do you deal with fame? What's the advantage, and what is the disadvantage being famous?
I guess I don't really think about it so much. it's just my life. Like, it is what it is. The disadvantage is, like, I'm, like, in my hometown, I'm in Miami, we were just doing press for this, and I'm, like, at the beach, and there's, like, literally, like, 25 paparazzi literally right next to me as I'm, like, laying down, but they're, like, I'm, like, literally laying down, and the guy is literally right there, like, opening camera shooting me, and the one of the paparazzi was yelling at this Logan, and she was, like, hey, come on, you guys got the shot, just let the girl eat, she's just trying to eat a cheeseburger right now, just let her eat, and I'm just, like, okay, guys, and they're, like, but when you go in the water, though, you know, we'll be back. And it's, I was like, on. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, like, I guess that's
same problem.
A disadvantage. But, you know, a good advantage of it is that, you know, as a human being, your natural instinct, I think, is to want to help people in any way that you can. Why wouldn't you? It doesn't make sense not to. And, you know, luckily I can use my platform to do some good and, you know, talk to teens about, you know, all kinds of different stuff and work with in so many charities and, you know, just get people involved in wanting to do better. Because even at the end of the day, if you're not, like, giving money to a charity or something because you can't, if you're talking to somebody and you're counseling somebody and you're hearing what they're saying to you, that is helping. That is helping. There's small things to do. So I think that's good.
Awesome.
All right, last question.
Oh, just a quick follow-up. Video games. How are you at, like, Dance Dance Revolution and Just Dance, those types of games?
Because I'm a dancer. You know, I've actually been beat many times in Dance Dance Revolution just because, again, the hand-eye coordination, feet coordination, because, like, it's not only with the hands, it's also with the feet, too. That's why I can't skate, I can't do anything with balance either. So anytime I'm, like, looking at the red, I'm looking at the green, and I'm dyslexic, and I'm just like, ah, shit's just going down, it looks like a war zone. So I'm not great.
All right, thank you so much.